Once again, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast. I want to talk today about something that is near and dear to my heart. Those that have followed the show, you know he's been on more than once. My friend and my brother, Mr. Daniel Hurd of Ride With Dan USA. I want to talk to you about his movement, the One Pedal at a Time OPAT movement. Guys, every day in the U.S., a person dies every 12 minutes from suicide. And up to 25 times as many will attempt suicide. Guys, we have to change the stigma. And that is what OPATmovement.com is all about. One pedal at a time is about more than simply riding bikes. It's about discovering a whole new way of seeing the world. If you go to my link today at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog, click the link that says start.opatmovement.com. You will see a page pulled up about Living Work Start. Living Work Start teaches life-saving suicide prevention skills in as little as 1 hour online. And during this time of COVID-19, there is a discount applied that is supporting communities all through the U.S. and around the world. Guys, go check out my link for the Living Work Start. Click the link and support the OPAT movement. Support Ride With Dan USA. We can overcome this together, one pedal at a time. All that being said, the little redhead girl's giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by. Once again, you are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. And guys, since we are going to take a little bit of a reprieve from MMA, it hasn't stopped as a sport, we're going to introduce another sport to all of you listening today. We're going to talk some motor racing. And when I say that, I have for you a very special guest that I have today. He's the fifth member of the YFB Network. He's coming in fast. He's coming in hot. Shiny Side Up is going to be what's going on today, and your downloads of thunder are coming. I give you the one, the only, Mr. Chris Barnett of the Burnout Podcast. Chris, welcome to the Blockhead Hour.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I couldn't be more pleased. You bet. I'm excited too, bud. So here's what I need to start out with. Just when it comes to you starting the podcast, you have one called The Burnout, and I've introduced you into a group of guys that talk about every other sport except this one more often than not. So my question is, what, just for those who are not familiar with you and don't know your story, how did you end up starting your podcast, and what range of motorsports are you covering as the episodes continue to come out?
Well, right now it's predominantly NASCAR because that's really the only thing that's really going on. There's some NHRA stuff going on too.
Right.
But what got me into it was I had nobody to talk to, and I have a lot of stuff to say, you know. I have a lot of opinions, and I'm the only person to talk to, so why not talk to myself inside my closet?
One of the best places to run a podcast.
Let everybody hear my thoughts, my opinions, and everything else in between, you know?
Yeah, and if people aren't drifting your way because of NASCAR, I just have to ask a simple question because some people are going to see it on Netflix and Hulu. It's been out there, I think even on Roku TV. You can't miss it if you're looking close enough. Are you a guy who grew up with the phenomenal blockbuster movie Days of Thunder?
Oh, yeah. I can almost quote the whole movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we have time for that, but I mean, either way, it's just that there might be some references that come in today that deal with Days of Thunder. I'm not entirely sure. But if it's possible, if you can walk me through something, if you don't mind. I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but my grandpa definitely had a guy that he followed, and I always try to honor his memory where I can. He happened to be a huge Mario Andretti fan. So was there anything in your arsenal that you have about a little bit of the history of Mario Andretti and what kind of influence he was on racing?
Mario, he was probably one of the most decorated race car drivers across the board. And not a lot of people know this, but Mario Andretti, I want to say was the only person? No. One of very few, at least, to win an Indy 500 and a Daytona 500.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he did some crossover. I mean, he was predominantly open wheel, but he did cross over into NASCAR, and he did well.
Fair enough. It's his name was pretty synonymous out there with racing fans. And there's two other ones that really have always stood out whenever I would hear NASCAR or racing being brought up. One of them, obviously, is Dale Earnhardt Sr., God rest his soul. But the other one is another guy. I used to follow country music television, CMT, and I remember this commercial all too well. They mentioned Mario Andretti and Dale Earnhardt Sr. at the time, but there was another guy that got thrown in. How familiar are you with the story of Mr. Richard Petty? What can you walk us through about his career?
I can't really go way back, you know, but I do know. Okay. I mean, he retired in 93, which was the first year of Jeff Gordon.
Oh, fair. You know what? That's a nice little segue, though. But it just happened to be those are three big names that were always thrown out. Andretti, Earnhardt, and Petty were big names when I was growing up. So it doesn't hurt for me to try to see if they can feel any the outside.
They don't call him the king for nothing. I mean, 200 wins.
Very true.
You know, that's incredible. And his brother, God rest his soul, Morris Petty, just died last past, I believe, Sunday.
Man.
And so 198 of Richard Petty's 200 wins, his brother built the engines for him.
Wow. Yeah. Learn something new every day. That's beautiful. See, there's so many stories that are in NASCAR, man. They're so enriching, and how have I missed all this? But if you will, I want you to do something for me, Chris, while I have you on here. I want you to help me fill in the gaps of something. I will walk my listeners through something. Is back in, I want to say maybe 2007 or 2008. I'm not sure which one this was, but I can tell you, I know I was watching a huge NASCAR race one day. Now, I was working on my ship. I was in the galley. I was working a weekend shift. And somewhere in there, I remember there was this guy who started way towards the back, maybe not all the way in the back, but he didn't have a great spot where he was at. And his name was Kevin Harvick. If you're laughing at me right now, there's a reason I tell this story. Is I had to keep coming out to the mess decks and checking the race because there's really nothing else on, but I started to get into this guy who continues to make his way up the tracks and starts going low, going high, and passing everybody. I'm starting to notice he's got a good spotter. But somewhere in there, I had to do my work, and then there was this huge wreck towards the very end, and I know that Kevin Harvick was one of at least three of them that they were about to do the last couple of laps. I go back inside to do some more work. I come back out to catch the final lap. The girls on the mess decks have changed the channel to Beauty and the Geek. Chris, I missed the checker flag. I missed the end of the race. I had to wait until I got off my ship to get some good reception. I called my best friend. I think I might have texted him, my best friend Jeremy. Shout out to you, Minister of Sound. And I said, who won the race? I want to know. And he wrote me back, Kevin Harvick. So I'm kind of asking you, if you're familiar with Kevin Harvick and some of his accolades, do you remember that race, and do you think that he had, like, his Cody Trickle moment that day?
Yes, I do. You said 2007, and boom, it clicked.
That makes sense, right?
That was the closest win in NASCAR history. 2/1000ths of a second, Harvick beats Mark Martin at the stripe. And the Daytona 500, yeah. So I definitely remember that. That was insane. Because Russ has always been a Kevin Harvick fan ever since he came in to fill in after Dale died, right?
Right.
Me, I was never really a big Kevin Harvick fan. I was always a Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte, those guys. And Mark Martin kind of came into the five car and drove for Rick Hendrick. Okay. So I was kind of cheering on Mark Martin. You know, Mark Martin was always the kind of guy that could always win races, but he never won a championship.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many races he won, but he won a lot. And I was always a fan of Mark Martin, and I was kind of cheering him on. And I was kind of looking back, you don't realize how historic that finish was. You're just pissed off your guy didn't win.
No, that's fair enough. And Blockhead's actually embarrassed because I'm not knowing these highlight reels and be able to talk about. That's why I depend on you to fill the gaps on something I'm not as familiar with. So I know that Loud and Opinionated is not going to be happy knowing that I'm not familiar with the highlights of Kevin Harvick that day. But again, chalk it up to experience that I'm facing a bunch of girls. I'm outnumbered and I'm on a ship where I'm stuck on weekend duty. I had to get off the ship to get an actual answer on what happened. So giving up some of my liberties that day, I missed in the end of the race. But again, that helps me out tremendously on him. But now you mentioned another guy who I've been waiting to segue because I got to know. It seems like there are two race car drivers in my lifetime that have been very divisive. There's always those that love him and those that can't stand him. And the first one for me has been Jeff Gordon. But you've been showing me that there's another guy out there that is either loved because of his antics or he's despised because of his antics. And that would be none other than Kyle Busch. So if you can walk us through a little bit of both of those guys, who would you say at the end of the day is more divisive for NASCAR fans? Is it Jeff Gordon or is it Kyle Busch?
Kyle Busch.
And why would that be? I mean, I've got time.
You got to go back in the early mid-90s, NASCAR was this southern sport, rough and tumble kind of a deal. And all of the drivers back then, they were in their 40s. And you had this hot shoe young kid come in, you know, at 20-something years old and kick everybody's butt, you know. And right. They didn't like that. That was Jeff Gordon.
Sure.
Well, fast forward 15 years, here's this young kid out of Las Vegas, Nevada, Kyle Busch.
Sure.
And he's wild. He's not afraid to tell anybody what he thinks. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your feelings. And he's kicking your butt all over the track again.
Right.
So, I mean, it divided. Back in the 90s, it divided so many people because you're rushing in this younger generation of people and these old farts are like, what in the world's going on? You know, I mean, they kicked out Winston. Winston was no longer, you know, able to sponsor the series. And I mean, it's just so many changes. And then here comes Kyle Busch and people, for whatever reason, don't appreciate his ability to just say whatever. And he doesn't care. And that's what I like about him. He doesn't care what you think.
Point.
He's going to say what's on his mind, you know?
Yeah.
People can't stand it. It
seems like there's a Jeff Gordon 2.0, but it's the same story. History's repeating itself in NASCAR. But that's just fascinating to me.
In a way, it is. And then in a way, it's not, because Gordon was kind of humbled, and he actually let Earnhardt kind of run him over a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You know, Earnhardt was the old guard, and –
sure.
And you know, you don't mess with Earnhardt. But there for a year, I'm gonna say a year, he let Earnhardt run him over, and then finally he stood his ground and he didn't care. He's like, you know what? I'm here. I'm gonna race with the big boys because I belong, you know. And he stood his ground and 100 or 94, 93, 94 wins and four championships.
You know, I appreciate what you've given to me, but again, on my side as a host, it's kind of one of those, how much attention to detail is Chris wanting to get into, and Blockhead is only substandard with his questions at this point. But I will tell you, I appreciate that, but I have to get into the next part because I know there's another key element we've got to talk about, is that is your interest in monster trucks. Now, you actually, at a young age, walked away from a chance of being a professional D lineman in the NFL because Monster Truck Wars was on television. So are there some good, fun stories we can get into just about your experience with Monster Truck Wars or watching them on TV before we get to your favorite guy? What can you walk the Blockhead Nation through about Monster Trucks on television and your experiences there?
Well, it started, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s. My dad worked afternoons, evenings. And I stayed up, and right after Tales from the Crypt came on, Monster Truck, TNT Monster Truck Challenge on ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, I watched that, and I mean, there's just something special about, especially back in the day. I mean,
sure.
These were all steel trucks driving, flying in the air, driving over cars. I mean, what 5-year-old kid wouldn't love that, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And then fast forward to you know, I think I was in third grade, and that was one of the reasons why I quit playing peewee football, was so I can watch Monster Wars on, I think it was on Channel 11 back then. And I'm like, you know, we could record it or I could watch it. So I decided, you know, I'm not really good at football, and I sure love racing. So that's pretty much what I did.
Well, Blockhead Nation, we've made it to episode 150. And you know what? Blockhead's done a very poor job of supporting his bestest best friend. We're going to fix that right now. My dear friend Jeremy has started his own website, his own page called Creations by Solomon. Guys, I want you to check out this store. In the blog page, you can go to the link that says Creations by Solomon. Take a look at all the merchandise that's up in his shop. Everything from spiral notebooks to coffee mugs, decorative pillows, phone cases, masks, t-shirts, you name it. It's going to be here at Creations by Solomon. If you've never listened to his music, he is known as what's called the Minister of Sound. That link for his Spotify page is going to be available today at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. So check out the website, check out the store, check out all the merchandise. And when you get to checkout, make sure you include the promo code YFB10. That's capital Y, capital F, capital B, 10. To get 10% off your purchase from Creations by Solomon. Go check him out today. I appreciate you, Blockhead Nation. Now, let's get back to the interview with Chris.
You definitely took the left of the fork in the road, and you, instead of becoming a professional NFL player, which we know you could have, you chose to choose a passion that led you to a Common Man podcast, which I couldn't be happier about personally on my end. But as we get into this, I know you're itching to talk about him. I know you could talk about him for days. But there is a particular, for the listeners who are not familiar with you, there's a particular well-known monster truck that, maybe if I'm lucky, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes and see how far this goes. Walk us through your experiences and your love for none other than the Phenom Gravedigger.
It goes beyond the name of the truck.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you that. You know, going back to the TNT Monster Truck Challenge days and all that, there was an event, 1990, I believe it was, at Texas Stadium. Mm-hmm. And not everybody knows this, but I wasn't always a Gravedigger fan. I was a Bigfoot fan because Bigfoot was kicking everybody's butt and romping and stomping, and it was awesome, right?
Sure.
But I knew when Gravedigger hit the track, you're going to see a run. I mean, it might be the only run of the night, but you're going to get a show. And so he pulls up to the line and he breaks something. I don't know, transmission, blower belt. He breaks. He doesn't make a run. And so we're walking around the concourse and my dad asked me, well, son, what do you want? You want Bigfoot shirt? You want Gravedigger shirt? And I always remember Dennis Anderson saying that t-shirt sales, hat sales, all that stuff pays for that truck to make him run like he does.
Right.
I was like, well, I want to see that Gravedigger truck run. Get me a Gravedigger shirt, you know? And so that's really kind of where it started. And then just the love affair I have is it runs really, really deep and kind of dark. A lot of times getting bullied in school has watching monster trucks and watching Dennis Anderson and Gravedigger back then helped me get through it. It brought some kind of joy in my life.
Yes, of course.
To watch what he would do. He drove harder, faster, higher than anybody else back then, and really kind of ushered in this whole new wave of, I guess, Monster Jam now.
Sure.
That everybody seems to know is Monster Jam. And it just kind of brought everything to fruition, I guess you could say.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. And it comes down to, I really don't. I never, honestly, I apologize for somehow being in the dark or being out of the loop when it comes to this being something you use to cope. But again, hey, if you can find joy and happiness by watching Gravedigger, a guy who persevered, then the story of Gravedigger has very much seemed to be perseverance from an outsider looking in. So I can
absolutely.
So I can definitely identify with that one. So I just don't want to cut you off on Gravedigger. I'm surprised it only took a few minutes, but are there any highlights or any real big accolades that could for a listener out there that wants to dive into monster trucks, what can we be expecting some returns of Grave Digger in the future? Is he going to be showing up for fans? Is there some kind of appreciation going for him? Or,
well, Dennis Anderson retired, I believe, 2 years ago now because of injury.
Okay.
Yeah, but his kids carry it on. And, of course, not everybody knows this, but Dennis sold the rights to Gravedigger to SRO Pace Motorsports, which is now Failed Entertainment.
Oh, wow.
So he doesn't necessarily own Gravedigger, you know, anymore. But his kids, Adam, Ryan, and Kristen, the first female driver of Gravedigger is Kristen Anderson.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's still a little green, but she's awesome. And then you got Adam Anderson, which is his oldest son, Dennis Anderson's oldest son, and you got Ryan, which is his second, and son of a digger. So they're carrying on the whole Gravedigger tradition as far as Failed Entertainment will allow them to.
Right, right.
But they're carrying it on, and this, I mean, I didn't go this year to AT&T Stadium. The shows have been lackluster here lately, and a lot of it is budget and all that stuff. And as you get older, you understand that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, they're not able to run the trucks into the ground like they used to, and the prices have gone way, way up, you know. But, I mean, at least his kids are carrying on the tradition of Gravedigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great. I think it's great. I wish that since Texas is a little bit more lax with fans and all that kind of stuff right now, I wish they would get together and Feld would come and have a, you know, 32-truck field, you know, out here at AT&T Stadium or something.
Yeah.
And run, you know, like the world finals again or something here, since we can have fans in attendance.
But. Yeah. That kind of gives me a segue into a few more. But, again, no matter what, as at the end of the day, as Metallica says, the memory remains. You've got some good memories from all these times that you've been out on the track and you've been able to be a fan. And, you know, they wouldn't be where they are without the fans. So you're a big contributor to that anyway. And so big ups to you.
There's one thing I want to say.
Sure.
And my dad was there with me, and it was Dennis Anderson's 30th anniversary in Gravedigger. We were at AT&T Stadium. And the love and appreciation he has for his fans is second to none. These trucks, the majority, well, all of the Feld-owned trucks use the same engine. It's a 540 cubic inch blown big block Chevrolet engine. He was doing his freestyle. Dennis Anderson and Gravedigger was doing his freestyle, right?
Right.
And I'm just kind of trying to set it up. Midway through the freestyle, he loses rear wheel drive. He's got front wheel drive only. He continues on for a 3-minute freestyle until that truck would not move. And I've never heard a big block Chevrolet scream its guts out just for his fans.
Wow.
Just for his fans that were in the stands that paid the hard-earned money. He, I mean, every bit of 10,000 RPM, Brian, this truck was just banging off the rev limiter, doing everything he possibly could do to get the truck up in the air, to get over obstacles, anything. He did just to show appreciation to his fans that pay the hard-earned money to come out. That's what I take away from Dennis Anderson.
I love it. And again, just to know that this guy does not distance himself from the common man and will give his all out there on the track, that's beautiful. That's beautifully articulated. Just that visual in my mind is just dripping with a guy that could talk me into the building. That's part of what we're here for is – not only will people be listening to your podcast and become a little more enlightened, but maybe one day they will make it out there to the track. And I think that's going to be in my future somewhere, even if it's just the Texas Motorplex, and so be it. But I have to bring – go ahead.
I was going to say one of the things he used to say at the end of the night, he always thanked the fans for every nut and bolt on the truck and every shingle on his roof, because without the fans, none of them would be there. And that's the case in all motorsports. If it's not for the fans – they wouldn't be there. They do it for the fans.
Man, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that, man. So before we continue to give you a little bit more of a platform for Gravedigger, there's still a few things I got to hit, some few bullet points here, because I asked you before we started because I have followed the X Games, whether it's the Summer Games or the Winter Games, just looking at some of these guys who do the big stunts on their cycles. So I asked you if you followed the X Games, whether it's on the ice or in the dirt, but you mentioned that you are pretty well versed in Supercross. So if you could you walk us through a little bit of what's going on in Supercross or what we can expect in the upcoming future?
The future's unknown. Touché. To be honest with you, but they did just wrap up. They ran, I think, the last 7 or 8 events that they had on the schedule. They ran it all in Utah, in Salt Lake City.
Right.
And every weekend they changed the track up, you know, just to make it more competitive, you know, for competition's sake. And they actually finished it. And I believe Eli Tomac finally won. I think that's who it was. Finally won his first championship after, I don't know, how many years. It's I think Eli Tomac is the one that almost, I want to say, damn near killed himself at AT&T Stadium a few years ago. Horrific accident. I watch it as a fan. I don't know all the riders. I mean, I used to know, you know, my God.
I mean, I'm guessing we can't anticipate a post-analysis on Supercross, but, you know, you can walk us through who's out there and who's taking the risks, though.
Well, Eli Tomac, I would like to say I would know, but I really don't, because there's been such a huge change in guard. I mean, used to be Jeremy McGrath. I wanted to say Mark McGrath, but that's banned. But it was Jeremy McGrath.
Way that name sounds
back
familiar,
in the day,
yeah.
You know, when. But I mean, I watch it as a fan just because it's on. Like I said in my podcast, I'll watch lawnmower racing. I don't care, you know.
That was a nice little nugget you left in one of your episodes. I remember that now.
I had a buddy I lived with when I first moved out of the house, and he's like, "What are you watching?" I said, "It's lawnmower racing." He's like, "You're seriously watching that?" I'm like, "It's fun. You know, why not?" So, I mean, I watch it. You know, at first I was trying to give updates and all that kind of stuff, but it's not really something that I'm great at. You know, I don't really keep up with it as I should, but I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, I
can be just as guilty about not talking about PFL because, you know, since I follow MMA, you want to know about UFC and Bellator, I've got you on most of it, but that's another one that's available on ESPN Plus. So don't feel so bad that there aren't every spot that can't be covered. I just figured, and now that I think about it, there is a tie-in because, you know, I talk about Peanuts. There is an episode called You're a Good Sport, Charlie Brown, where they literally are doing motocross. So I think if I remember this right, Charlie Brown ends up losing his helmet, so they cut a pumpkin out and put it on top of his head to finish the race, and he, as in Pumpkinhead, you know, or the Great Pumpkin. But Peppermint Patty was actually got him into that and talked about all the different risks they faced, like dry river beds, what were called whoop-de-doos, and all the other obstacles that they faced. So at least you know there is a segue in Peanuts that even ties into this. So, hey, way to talk Peanuts and – motor racing the next segment. So I like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, to go back to the X Games and that kind of stuff, I do remember watching it, you know, back when freestyle motocross was huge.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you had guys like Travis Pastrana, Brian Deegan, you know, one-upping each other, with Travis Pastrana pulling off a double backflip, you know, in the Summer X Games, you know, a few years ago, which, you know, that a single backflip back then was amazing, much less to pull off a double. I mean, that's insane. So, and Brian Deegan's daughter actually is driving stock cars now. Haley Deegan.
Oh, nice. See, he is a wealth of knowledge, ladies and gentlemen. Blockhead Nation, we should be paying attention to this guy. So, now that we look at where we are post-COVID, I mean, I'm not saying post-COVID. I know we're still facing the second wave. We're almost out of the eye of the hurricane in my mind. But as we get things back to this next normal, we can anticipate – you've mentioned it on your show, but in case others have not drifted your way, with all the new observations you have of the sport, is NASCAR handling it well? Are Indy races, are they following a good protocol that's good for fans and racers? What do you see with all the new protocols that are put in place, positive and negative?
There's not a whole lot of negative to say about what NASCAR has done.
Nice.
I got to give it to NASCAR. They did a really great job of doing their homework and taking the time to set up a protocol and a plan, and they put it in place.
That's great.
Drivers, they show up, they do their temperature checks, all that kind of stuff, and then they go straight to the motorhome lot, change clothes into their fire suit, and jump in the car. Spotters have no interaction with the driver other than over the radio. They show up, they go in the front, they go up to the top of the tower, and they spot for the drivers. And same thing with the crew members. They have no or very little interaction with the drivers and with other people, and they just show up, do their job, and go home. And what NASCAR has done is, I don't know if you remember, but they used to have 3 days worth of practice and qualifying and then doing the race. It used to be like a 3-day show. You know, show up on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, and now it's just a 1-day deal. They draw 4 position to start out of a hat, basically, and right. They show up and race and go home. And that's something that a lot of people in the NASCAR community and racing in general has been wanting. It was no qualifying and no practice. Me, I'm okay with no practice or very little practice, but I feel like qualifying is a fair deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a fair shake.
Sure.
For all the drivers to get their fair due instead of, you know, taking chance out of a hat, more or less, to set up your starting position. But what they've done is hands down is the formula that every motorsport should look at. You know, all their precautions and everything they do, temperature checks after temperature checks after temperature checks, and right. Forcing the mask and all this kind of good stuff. I mean, it's awesome. And that's something you can't replicate in stick and ball sports.
Sure.
MLB is kind of proof that you can't.
I will have to concur on that one.
So they've done great, man. I'm really proud of what they've accomplished, you know, since when they start going back May. So I'm excited. I'm happy for them. They did a really great job. And it's a lot of stuff that the whole NASCAR community, like I said, has been wanting for years. And it's actually coming to fruition. Midweek races, that's another thing that people wanted, was midweek races, and they're getting it. It just sucks that nobody's watching.
Accurate analysis from the mind of the burnout, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, that falls on nobody else but the fans. And maybe somehow we can reach some people, we can get deep into their psyche, and we can get them to the track. And that includes myself, my friend. So I thank you, Chris, just for everything that you've laid out here. I'm enjoying this interview with you, man. It's been so great to catch up. But as we come to a close, because we can only have these going so long, I always ask my guests when they come in if there's a big takeaway that they can get from you today. If they heard nothing else from Chris Barnett, whether they're going to follow the burnout or not, either way, is there something that you want people to hear? You have a nice little catch at the end of your podcast where you say, leave them shiny side up. Maybe there's something a little bit deeper to that one that you'd like to lay out for the Blockhead Nation now, but what would that takeaway be? If they heard nothing else, this is your chance, Chris, then what would that be for the listeners?
Give motorsports a chance. Go out to your local racetracks. Like in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's dozens of racetracks to go to. Go out and support your local tracks. Give it a shot. You know, $20 for a family to go out and watch some dirt track racing. Go out and give it a shot. Who knows, you might fall in love with it, and it's great competition. Go out and enjoy it and have fun and support these local tracks. That's the biggest thing. These tracks around across the country need help and need their support, everybody's support. Go out and just enjoy the races.
As they said in the Wonder Years, and there you have it, guys, it's time for us fans to get our hands dirty, get a little bit in the trenches, but love on these guys who are giving it their all for the sake of entertainment. I love it, man. This is a chance where you can really build yourself up, Chris. They know they can find you on the YFB Network. We know we have you on the show, but what are some places that they can go to at this point to hear you out? Let's just hear your plugs at this point, brother.
Of course, they can check out The Burnout on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google, and Pocket Cast. Yes. So check it out, and you won't be disappointed.
There you go. You're on the YFB Network, and also, and rightfully so. Guys, I will tell you that Podfane is a real thing, and this guy's about to hit 10 episodes in the future. It's going to happen. He's going to keep rolling. We've got some great talent with us nowadays on the YFB Network. So go check them out. Not only check out Chris Barnett, but make sure you go check out Rated JG. Go check out Loud and Opinionated. Go check out the Paddler's Playbook, and go check out Casually Kicking. And all these guys that are on the network, as it starts to grow, we are here to be a community and build up each other and edify. And Chris, I've had a great time catching up with you today, man. All of these links are going to be available on yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. If they can't find you, they're not looking hard enough. I thank you for your time, Chris, and I bid you adieu.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Cannot be happier to have you. And guys, be looking forward to some special episodes coming up, some possible big names in the future. We will see what happens if the podcasting gods align on Blockhead once again. But until that time, enjoy the episode today and be sure and check out all the links, yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. If you want to review and get a subscription, I'm never good at doing that part, but I'm going to share it here. Everything that you need on the podcast can be found on the blog. Thank you so much for coming today. This has been your favorite Blockhead. We'll see you next Saturday. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel. Oh, so you made it to the end, and you thought that I was not going to include a scripture of the day? Sorry, Blockhead Nation, but you thought wrong. And that's because I want you to feel encouraged. Today's scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. May the daily commentary from Blue Letter Bible leave you with these thoughts. We are so precious to the Lord that He calls us His children. It is amazing to know that the Lord calls each one of us by name. May that encourage you. May you embrace the words of the truth today. Thank you once again for listening to this episode with Chris, and thank you so much for listening to the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast.